As yet another report confirms the massive underspend of Levelling Up monies, what does the latest Public Accounts Committee analysis tell us about the state of fund management in UK economic development?
Will more transparent reporting by government departments make a difference, as the Public Accounts Committee suggests, or are there other more fundamental points of failure? I'm Mike Spicer.
And I'm David Marlowe. You're listening to LED Confidential, the podcast that lifts the lid on those intractable, enduring challenges facing those of us working in and on LED and placemaking today.
Welcome to the first of our Espresso Shot episodes of April 2024. Short but sharp insights into key issues facing us in local economic development.
When hasn't the design of funding mechanisms for economic development and placemaking appeared in our podcast, either guest or indeed Espresso Shot episodes? So what's new this month?
Well, there's always a lot new on this topic. I'm guessing that's possibly why we'd like to talk about it so much. And I have to say, as a disclaimer, that I myself am currently working on a report in this space for the local government association. So it's something I know you and I think about a lot, David. There are reports being published often on it. But I wanted to raise the spectre of the Public Accounts Committee report, because I do think it was quite spiky and quite damning about three of the Levelling Up monies in particular. It looked at the Towns Fund, the Town Deals and Future High Streets Fund in England, the Levelling Up Fund, which of course is a UK-wide fund, as is the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. And it really makes quite grim reading, but the thrust of the report is that very little of the money that has been allocated to these programmes has in fact been spent. And the PAC, the Public Accounts Committee, found that only 1.24 billion, so just around 10% of the 10.47 billion from those three funds, had been spent as of September of last year. And even by December, just a few months later, the department had only transferred about a third of those monies to local authorities out of the total allocation. So the picture that's painted really is one of really slow progress, a kind of failure to get money out of Whitehall into programmes that make an impact in the real world. But before we get into kind of what does it all mean, I thought, to be honest, the recommendations that came out of that report were a little bit milquetoast, if I can use that word, because it really just focused on the government should publish this and that and be a bit more transparent about the data and so on. I'm not convinced, David, as you know, that those kind of reporting requirements in and of themselves will make one iota of difference to the outcome. Nevertheless, it is right, in my view, to draw attention to some of these kind of appalling disbursement rates that we're seeing across these important funds.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree with you, although I have to say I've never heard or used the term milquetoast, but it'll be one for my future lexicon. Look, I couldn't disagree with you. We've been through this so many times. I suppose the point I would make about your critique of the PAC recommendations, with which I totally agree, is that these derive from its remit. And I think one of the issues with that whole report is that the PAC necessarily diagnose what is wrong with government implementation from a financial entry point. So they never actually asks, you know, if everything had gone swimmingly well, would this have achieved any levelling up? And I do think that, you know, there are other bodies that do that. But that is, in a sense, the question that I think our podcast particularly tries to focus on, because what the PAC report surfaces is, yes, I mean, implementation is absolutely dire. But the whole premise seems to me to be, you know, deeply, deeply flawed. I mean, so remember, the funds that they looked at are three of 17 funds that DLUHC itself, the Department for Levelling Up Homes and Housing and Communities, say are their funds that are focused on levelling up and the local growth part of their portfolio. So it's 3 of 17 that the PAC looked at. And that those are just departmental funds. And would any of them, collectively or indeed singly, have delivered against a levelling up mission that was supposedly the centrepiece of government's policy? So, you know, in my view, there was never enough money. There was built-in bureaucratic congestion. And of course, there's been lots of reports of political patronage at all. And from their vantage point, the PAC diagnose it very accurately. But like you, the actual remedies are not fit for purpose for what that money was meant to buy in the first place.
I think it's also worth pointing out that those three funds that it focuses on, the Towns Fund, Levelling Up Fund, UK, they're actually very different in the way that they've been designed. So the fact that we're seeing, as you say, those kind of bureaucratic challenges across three very differently designed funds leads one to wonder what are the common factors here in some of the challenges that we're seeing. So the UK Shared Prosperity Fund, of course, is based around fixed allocations. But as the PAC report notes, that hasn't stopped. The fact that we're talking about fixed allocations, where we know how much money is supposed to be dispersed to an area, that hasn't stopped big delays creeping in. You would imagine, wouldn't you, that in a system based on block grants, that there ought not to be really those kind of huge delays that you would see in a more competitive funding setup as for some of the other funds that we've talked about, because you don't have judging processes at the Whitehall level. So why are we still seeing these kinds of delays? And we've covered it on this program before, but you know, I still wonder what the point is of Whitehall signing off on UK Shared Prosperity Fund investment plans. There has to be a better way of ensuring accountability for National Exchequer cash, while at the same time empowering local places to act faster and more in sympathy with their local priorities. And as for the, you know, the Levelling Up Fund, I mean, again, it's a storied fund with many odd oddities in it, and not least the fact that in round two, the judging criteria were changed after the fact, which is always likely to cause problems. But again, you know, these are different funds. It may be the same department, but you know, it goes to show that it's not necessarily the design of the funds that is fully to blame for some of the challenges we're seeing. It's actually some of the broader institutional arrangements that we need to look at.
Yeah, and I think that's possibly the area that I'd like to end on. I mean, there's lots more I could say about this. And I thought that actually, within its remit, the PAC report made good reading. But yes, the broader institutional stuff that were in the PAC report, which could be taken a lot further. I mean, learning, and the lack of robust program frameworks, evaluation frameworks up front, seems to me to be something that we've got to take forward in any reform of the system. And the PAC do actually comment on this. I mean, you've got to put the robust evaluation frameworks in place up front, and you've got to have processes for learning. I suppose the other thing about all of this is that we do know some of the solutions, and many of them have been rehearsed, you know, on the podcast, you know, empowered place leadership teams with robust, widely owned plans for their places is much better than all of these multiple 17 in deluxe case funds that have different rules, different timetables, different criteria, different civil servants doing allocation appraisals and so on. And, you know, some sort of new way of doing this has to be the way forward. And there's enough in the PAC report to hang some more deeper radical reform hooks.
And just before I sign off, I would say as well that, you know, important as it is to learn from the past, you do need people who remember the past. And, you know, it's all very well commissioning an evaluation of something. And of course, you know, we're economic consultants, we work on these things, but ultimately you do need people to act on their findings. And that requires some institutional arrangements that are geared towards long-termism, particularly in the recruitment and retention of staff. That's how you get a corporate memory. And an evaluation program without the means of retaining the learnings and implementing them is just a piece of paper at the end of the day. So we need both. Both are important, but you can't have one and not the other.
Evaluation and learning and corporate memory. That, along with milk toast, will be my takeaways from today. Let's draw a line there. And I hope you listeners did enjoy our quick look at the PAC Levelling Up report. As ever, you can access all things LED Confidential over at our website, ledconfidential.co.uk. Connect with our bonus material. Tell us what you think. Send us your suggestions for future episodes. Till the next time.